Welcome to Evans Joe's Podcast, official podcast of the NCDA.
You want to know what's that? Grown men playing basketball.
A place where everyone seems to get
picking up.
And now here's your host, Josh Raymer. All right.
Actually, Mr. Announcer Man, I won't be hosting this episode, but I have found a couple of replacement hosts that I'm sure our vast listening audience will find very capable of carrying out my legacy. So without further ado, Ben, Alex, it's all yours, guys.
Scotch is good going down into my... We're live? Oh, okay. Welcome to NCDA's third episode of its podcast, covering everything there is to know about National Dodgeball, which is not much, actually. And please welcome my co-hosts here.
I'm Alex Heichelbeck.
He's not much of a talker right now. He's checking out our website, and actually, that's what Josh Raymer, who's our captain, WKU's captain, has been doing this broadcast, and we're taking it over now because we can. And he's been really updating that website pretty good.
Josh is far too busy with his nursing major to do this as well. So
yeah,
more power to him on that one.
And we're checking that out right now. And what do you think we should? Well, obviously there's some broken links up at the top that.
Obvious, and we don't need any reports on the forum about the website not being all the way up and running yet. We are aware of that, but for those of you who have been paying attention to the podcast lately, you'll know that the NCDA is still very early on. We haven't had a lot of time to do work on it. Josh Raymer especially deserves mad props for getting a lot of work done trying to get all this back up and running. So definitely keep your eye on the website. Definitely check out the message boards as often as you can, and hopefully everything will be up and running as soon as possible.
Just a quick reminder on that as well. Jazzy wants us to make sure you guys know anything you send us will probably go on to the website. So if you have any stories, any kind of funny tales of dodgeball, please send it in.
All right. Once again, my name is Alex Heichelbeck, here with Benjamin Subcheck. I am attending school here at Western Kentucky University, and this is my first semester on the Big Red Dodgeball team. Mm. And one of the things that we did want to go over is how we ended up getting into Western Kentucky's dodgeball team and how that relates to other teams getting additional members. So, Benjamin?
Well, obviously, this is our first semester, and the way we got into it is... because we went to our car. We were going to get some like steak and shake or something.
I believe it was steak and shake.
Yeah, and there was a note on our car, and I was like, well, crap, I got another ticket. And it turned out to be a dodgeball advertisement.
Which, oddly enough, at first we thought was a joke, and yep. We were afraid to make the phone call on there because we were worried we were going to get a hold of someone that was going to laugh at us for believing that there was a dodgeball team. But lo and behold, we got a hold of Jazzy Josh Raymer, and we were informed that it was not a joke and was in fact not only a real sport, but a sport at the collegiate level.
And that's just one example of how you can make a new team or get additional members. Just you need that one or two people, a core group of people that are really interested and really driven and motivated to make this team work. And then other than that, it's getting the news out whatever way you can, whether it be on your website, get a hold of your newspaper, or do the car advertising, and that'll get people interested.
One good point that we had earlier is both me and Benjamin, this is our third year at Western Kentucky University, and even though Western Kentucky University had a dodgeball team last year, we had no clue it was here, and if we would have known, we most likely would have joined. It's just they didn't have quite the advertising that they do this year. So definitely there's got to be some creative ways you can come up with how to get the word out, be it through putting posters on people's cars. Facebook is definitely a good way to do it. But, I mean, I think the best way to get people, and you can agree with this or not, is if people show up and they watch a game, they're probably going to be interested. Because when you think dodgeball at first, what do you think? You think...
Elementary
school, like inflated little yellow ball, and that was about it. And then when you show up and you see people just going gung-ho for it, and especially some of the videos that are on YouTube of some of the teams like Grand Valley and Saginaw, where it's just crazy to see people playing what's considered such a juvenile sport in such almost a barbaric way, I guess. So definitely think of some creative ways to come up with stuff like that. I think we might be putting something on the message boards, just some ideas of how to increase team size, how to pull in new people. So keep an eye on that and throw in any ideas you've got. Okay, while we're on the topic of the NCDA Dodgeball website, which for those of you that haven't visited it yet, shame on you. It's www.ncdadodgeball.com. If you do check it out, you'll notice there's a couple of new things on there. One of them being in the bottom right-hand corner is the Average Joe's podcast, which is what you're listening to at the moment.
We're doing that right now, actually.
It is, in fact, what we're doing right now. And you'll notice that this episode will be up there as well as, well, all the other ones. So you can check those out on the website now, no more needing to deal with that whole iTunes thing. So that's on there. And another thing I want to draw attention to, just because I think it speaks of the heart and soul of collegiate dodgeball. Moment of silence here, Ben. What's known as the focus on dodgeball. A quote from a Western Kentucky University team member, Adam Markham. And the quote, I just really think this speaks volumes about just the attitude of collegiate dodgeball. The quote is, all I need in this life are my turds and my testicles.
Yep.
Powerful. I don't know what else to say other than powerful. It's just, it speaks to something in me.
But, and remember, that some people got upset about that, saying it was immature to have on the front page of a dodgeball website.
And while yes, referring to turds and testicles is somewhat immature, I'd like to remind everyone that we're playing dodgeball here. And while it is great to be serious about this sport, and it's great to see people passionate about it, if you're playing a game where you're throwing rubber balls at each other, you gotta have a sense of humor. So we are sorry if anyone was offended by that, but we're just trying to keep everything in good spirits. If we had gotten too much kickback about it, I think we would have done something about it. But for the most part, it was just people that thought that it was a little out of place on a website like this. But we appreciate everyone taking it in stride. And keep in mind, it's dodgeball. Let's have fun out here.
So what else is new on that website you're looking at there?
Another couple things that we want to show on the website here is we're going to be keeping game updates on the very top of the page, which at the moment the only one that's listed there is the game from October 26th against which was University of Louisville against Western Kentucky University. That game went especially well considering the short time that the University of Louisville had in putting their team together, which congratulations on that. Their team was great. They had tons of people show up. It was an exceptional game. The final score was
I believe it was 8-1.
Eight games to one game. So
like you said, that was they had 2 weeks to practice.
2 weeks
before
to put a team together. And so congratulations to Western Kentucky University for their win, and especially congratulations to University of Louisville for doing so well in such a short period of time. We're looking forward to seeing them again at the upcoming tournament in Lexington to see what they've had time to work on.
Mm-hmm. One other thing that I want to draw attention to, there's actually two, but the first one is we've actually added the YouTube link to our dodgeball channel, and you can view all the games that are put up on our dodgeball channel on YouTube. And please send us those. We will put them up on the website. Some of them are really funny. Some of them are just good games to watch. And the other thing is,
there's also a Red Wings Hurricanes hockey game up if anyone's interested in watching that. Didn't see that before.
What about those preseason rankings, Alex?
For the preseason rankings, once again, these are preseason rankings and will most likely be prone to change in the coming weeks. Grand Valley is still in first, with Ohio State trailing behind them in second, Delta in third, Saginaw Valley in fourth, Kent State in fifth, University of Kentucky in sixth.
MSU?
Michigan
State University?
MSU,
yeah.
In seventh. I'm sorry, I cannot read. And so it's got all 20 teams listed on there. It's definitely something good to look at. We're going to be updating that as the rankings change.
Well, I think no matter what, whoever's running the website, I'm assuming just right now, Jazzy will be updating that. It should be updated after the next University of Kentucky tournament, November 16th. And if it isn't, Jazzy, you should update those
now.
Because the season is going. It's been like a semester, man.
Okay, one more thing. The last thing that we want to bring attention to on the website, which is actually going to lead us into our topic for today, is the NCDA poll right now. And the poll question right now is cheating a problem in college dodgeball?
Ooh.
And according to our results, 62% of people that answered said yes, 27% of people said no, and 11% of people say not sure. I'm guessing those are people that don't pay attention when they're watching a game. Because I think in dodgeball especially, I think it's going to become pretty obvious when cheating's going on. I know that in the University of Louisville, Western Kentucky University game, there was cheating going on from both sides. Most of the time, it's stuff that's pretty nominal. People taking hits and not going out when they're called. That's going to be a big part of reffing and how you handle that. That's something we'll go over. But everyone just needs to realize that it is something that hurts the sport, and that's what we're going to be discussing for the next little while.
I think the first thing that needs to be done about this, Alex, is everybody needs to review the rules, because some people just don't know when, you know, an error has occurred or when some kind of foul, like stepping over the line or, you know, reaching your arm over the line, is that an invisible barrier or whatever. But reviewing the rules is going to be your best bet. And like we said, Louisville had just a very, very short time to get together, but it felt like even our team just didn't quite know exactly what was a foul and who deserved to go out.
And granted, one of the reasons for that is going to be because the NCDA is so new, not everyone has a solid grasp on the rules. I know there are some variations as far as how far up on the court each team's allowed to go. So there are some variations in that, and I think one of the things that should probably be done between probably most likely some of the captains of the bigger teams is we just need a set of rules that's set in stone, something that everyone can have a physical copy of, so that in the event at a game or a tournament there is some kind of argument or discrepancy, there's something you can pull out, read through, and point and be like, no, look, here's what's going on with that.
If anything else, like those lines, the neutral zone lines are always up in the air just because you have to work with whatever court you're on. As long as it's agreed upon between the two captains and the teams in general, whatever rules you all want to put in place, as long as it's agreed upon and the score is agreed upon, then, you know, whatever.
So that form of cheating, while it does happen, that's more dependent on the rules. The problem that I think most of the people are having, and we've got some posts on our message board we're going to go through here shortly, is people that are just blatantly cheating. Some examples of this would be getting hit and not going out. If you've been hit, you usually know you've been hit. Whether it, you know, nicks your finger, your shoulder, you've been hit, and you need to go out. And events like that are happening far too much, and it's ruining the game for everyone else.
And a good point to note here is your clothes is an extension of you. Read that in the rules. I just checked that. They are a part of your body, so if your clothes get hit and you know it, go out. I think what in our forum post specifically, people were discussing how in certain games people were getting hit and then just like laughing about it. Like, okay, somebody pointed it out to them and they would, you know, blow a kiss to the guy who pointed out, like, whatever, what are you going to do about it type of deal. And that's just kind of pathetic, actually.
And once again, we did make the point earlier that, you know, dodgeball is a very fun sport. And while it is great that people are serious about it, it's also something that people do. It's a very social thing, just something that you're doing to have fun. But at the same time, if you don't take it seriously enough to where you're following the rules, you're going to ruin it for everyone else. So have fun with it, but don't ruin other people's fun by cheating. So
there's nothing worse than getting angry over dodgeball because someone else is feels like they want to win so badly that they're willing to cheat over it.
Exactly. And one of the other things that I know has been brought up, I believe it was on the message board, is that there's really no defined penalty system for college dodgeball.
True.
At the moment. Whereas in soccer, there's, you know, yellow and red cards. There's really no penalty system set up yet. And one of the things that I'm sure we'll talk about is whether or not there needs to be some kind of penalty system, be it limitations put on players individually or on teams. If a team has a certain number of rule infractions or occurrences of cheating, is an action taken against individual players or against the team as a whole?
I think your best bet is to go after the individual players, just because it's difficult to punish an entire team for something that only one or two people are consistently doing. So I would suggest like a yellow and red card system, and that is placed on those people. They are punished. They are out for the next two, you know, points or whatever the case may be. But yeah, let's get those people out.
The only downside I would see to that being is that if you're punishing the individuals, there's obviously a personal, like me as a player, there's a personal reason for me to follow the rules. But there needs to be some way that teams as a whole, the captains, are encouraged to tell people not to break the rules. Not that I'm saying that any team captain is telling people to shrug off hits or break rules, but if the team captain and the players as a whole know that cheating is going to affect the entire team, not just the individuals, wouldn't that make them more likely to press that upon their players?
You do make a very good point there. But, I mean, what would seem fair there?
Well, if I knew that, we probably would have implemented it already. But, I
guess that would just be a discussion between the captains.
It would definitely be
a
discussion between
teams.
The captains, and maybe even if we didn't have a solid set of rules, maybe if there was some kind of agreement made between the captains before the game. If
right.
it were to be known that players that are accused of cheating by referees will be subject to X punishment, sitting out for the next round, sitting out for the rest of the half, sitting out for the game, sitting out for however many games, depending on the kind of...
What about, like, starting out with only, 12 players instead of 15? If you're doing,
like... Like a power play?
Yeah, like a power play or something. Like in hockey, you take out one player and you got...
Well, I mean, once again, the possibilities there are limitless. You could make them play where they have to, play on one foot or whatever. But the point isn't what... It would be fun, yes. We should suggest that one. The point isn't exactly what they should be, like what the rules and penalties should be, but how they're implemented.
Mm.
Like one of the ones that I know, the problem that we had at the UK-UofL game is we didn't have any official referees, so players from both teams were serving as referees. But the problem you have there is when someone was hit and they didn't go out and one of the referees called them out, they tended to not listen to that person because it was, a player from the opposing team, and they were like, well, that person's just trying to get me out.
But once again,
that didn't happen in any large quantity. It didn't happen multiple times, but it was still a problem that we saw and a problem that affected the game on multiple occasions.
But even with those referees, like, the game is just so hectic. There are 15 people running around, or 30, including both teams, and 10 balls just flying everywhere. Even referees that are trying their hardest to be fair are going to miss some things. So it's incredibly important to have that spirit of the game inside of all the players and just know this is the right thing to do. I need to get out because I got hit.
And I don't mean to cross sports boundaries here, but back in high school I played paintball a great deal, and one of the rules that we had in paintball is if a ref tells you you're out, you're out. You don't argue with referees. I mean, I know it's that way in some major sports, but if a referee tells you're out, even if you know 100% for sure that you didn't get hit, just do what he says. Because if one person refuses to listen to a referee, that referee has just lost all credibility. So, and it's also, a matter of respect. If someone's taking their time to help us out and do that job, then you should pay attention to them when it's what we've asked them to do.
Another thing on the forum post was, do we videotape the games and do we have playbacks of some kind? I think that was probably on page 2 or something.
I don't think we have the budget for that.
I don't think we do either.
Like we could have John Madden show up with his little screen and do write-ins for us.
You see that right there? It's just circling the
I
hit.
I think I've got his phone number. We can give him a jingle.
Yeah. And let's just go ahead and head to the forums right now. I just want to make this quote known here. It's by Dodgeball Fan. I don't know what team he's on, but he made a very good point, and this is the first post of the forums about cheating, and it says, I want to make it known that when cheating in dodgeball, not only are you hurting your team and your school's prestige, but you're hurting the sport and the league. And that's just a good point. Like, you are hurting the name that is on your jersey, and you're forever going to be known as a school or as a team that is allowing that to occur. Or I mean, even if you don't know, it's still your name on there.
Exactly. And another point that I want to make about this message board, because we're having some great discussions on this message board about cheating. There's some great stuff getting across. The reason that we chose to make this our topic for this podcast is because of the kind of stuff that was coming across on the message boards. But one of the things I would like to discourage is personal attacks on teams. We're getting a lot of people making posts that are like, well, I was at this game and I saw this team do this. We didn't put up this message board so people could complain. We put it up so we could try to remedy what is obviously a problem. Anyone that's ever been to a game, I'm sure that every single team has cheated at least once in every game they've played in. I don't mean to naysay, but that's just how it works. That's how it goes, unfortunately. But we have way too many people on here that are identifying teams. Luckily, no one's really identified any individuals up till this point. Something like that, we'd probably have to take it off the message board. But let's go with a little less personal attacks and a little more constructive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we're going to try to do now that we've gone over some of the things that we've seen on the forum, is what exactly we think, we being myself, Alex Heigelbeck, and my counterpart here, Benjamin Subcheck, what we think would make a decent set of rules. Obviously nothing infallible, because, you know, it's sports, but what we think would make a good set of rules. So, Benjamin, if you want to go ahead and kick it off.
First off, I think no matter what, the captains need to get together, possibly while everybody's warming up and throwing around, the captain needs to get together, figure out those neutral zones, figuring out how many refs they want, what kind of timing system. Everybody, the two of the refs need to have the shot clocks on there, and obviously maybe one other person on each team to push the balls back into play, so no one's going out of bounds, and no one could say that's a foul right there.
Agreed. One of the other things, and maybe this is just me being an optimist. One of the things I think might help is if before the game the two teams, I don't know how I'd word this, but not introduced to one another, but if I'm playing dodgeball against people that I've at least gotten to, you know, shake hands with, or maybe if the rules are addressed to not each individual team but both teams as a group, I think maybe you'll have a little bit more understanding, because then both teams are presented with the same set of rules, the same set of penalties at the same time. So you're aware of the rules, and you know that the other team is aware of the same rules. That way, any infraction that is made, it's going to be recognized by both teams. And you can't just claim like, oh, well, we weren't told that by our captain. So that would be one of my suggestions.
We also think it's a pretty good idea if there is a camera present, and someone is that upset about a certain situation, or possibly it's a very important point and something occurs, sure, why not? Why don't you go back to the tape and prove such a thing were to, so such cheating was to occur?
My only question there would be, because it sounds like a good idea, who are you going to present that to? Would you present that to the other team captains?
Yeah, the two team captains would go over there, watch the tape, and then agree upon either a punishment for the team. Once again, that goes back to our earlier conversation. Mm-hmm. Is it a punishment to the player? Is it a punishment to a team?
The only problems that I could see stemming from that, because like I said, it seems like a good idea. I guess I just can't get over the idea that, one, that seems like that could become a waste of time if every time one person's cameraman sees someone get hit and not go out, are they going to want to stop the game, take 5 minutes to review this tape, and then make a decision and then implement the punishment? It seems like that could be a bit of a problem. I guess maybe if you had recorded an excessive amount of cheating, then maybe it would that would make sense. But I think that might almost be something that you would want to wait and save until after the game, or else, you know, you could have the game stopping at random intervals for reviewing footage.
Well, why not just give each team captain a stop game card or whatever, and just say, I want to you know, review the situation right now.
It's a review play for football fans.
Yeah, right. And just give them one of each per you know, half or game. It depends. But if they want to play that card, that's all that power to it. But whoever's videotaping the game can't say a single word, even if they catch it a whole bunch. It's got to be the team captains.
And I would guess if this was... I don't think this would be as useful for maybe games against individual teams. It might, if you had Team A playing Team B, it may or may not be a good thing to use. But at tournaments, I think it would definitely be a good idea, especially because at tournaments you're usually going to have referees, and then official referees, not team-supplied referees. Official referees would be able to review that tape and could probably make a decision pretty quick, because I would be worried that if it's just the two team captains looking at it, you could get into squabbling, because it depends on how willing the one team captain is to admit that someone on his team has cheated. So if those are the general things that we're doing at the beginning of the game and throughout the game, the one thing that I would like to cover is not exactly the different kinds of cheating, but what constitutes a major infraction and what constitutes something that maybe the person could be called out for, maybe given a warning about. I mean, what would you consider to be probably the most major infraction that you could make in a dodgeball game?
I'd have to say... I hate it when I see people get hit, look around to see if anybody was watching, and then stay in. Because that is a conscious decision to sit there and look around and be like, I don't think anybody saw that, staying in.
If you've done that, it's incredibly obvious to anyone who's watching that you've just made, like you said, a conscious decision to cheat. Whereas if someone does get brushed, get their jersey brushed, or their pants hit, or maybe if it hits their feet, but they don't know if it's hit the ground or not.
Or the ball, too.
Or if it's hit a ball first. It is understandable for them to want to stay in the game. Like, no one's obviously going to think, like, well, I may or may not be out. Well, I guess I'll go out. But in cases like that, that's when, if you have a feeling one way or another, if you do think, well, yeah, I probably was out there, you should go out. And if not, you might look at one of the referees and ask, did that hit the ball first? That hit the ground first? And if they don't know, then you may have just dodged a bullet and you can stay in. But if they say, yeah, I think that hit you, I don't think it deflected off of anything, then you need to go out. Don't argue, don't complain. That would be great. One of the set of rule infractions that I think I have the biggest trouble with, because I think that this leads to more cheating, is poor sportsmanship. For example, one of the things that I've seen in a couple of the games is someone that has a ball in their hand and they get out and they either throw it on the ground, which is understandable because you're upset, but at the same time it's kind of poor sportsmanship. But the one that I've seen on multiple occasions that I think is much less acceptable is taking that ball and just hurling it at the other team, even though you know that you're already out. That is poor sportsmanship. And in my opinion, I think it's still cheating, because then someone is going to be watching you, a player that they shouldn't have to be paying attention to, as opposed to paying attention to another player. So how do you feel about that one?
That definitely, no matter what, that's poor sportsmanship, and that's going to lead to more cheating. As you said, that person's already got a pretty bad attitude about the game, so he's probably one of the people that is cheating blatantly and is going to continue to try to do it. And no matter what, those type of people, I think those type of people need to be punished by their captains or the referees with some kind of point penalty, like sitting out.
And I especially agree that you think that the captain should handle it, because that's making your whole team look bad. If there's someone that is being, I mean, I think that's the kind of reaction that I would expect from a kindergartner playing T-ball, to get frustrated and to be pouty, because what you're doing is you're being pouty. And in being pouty, you're cheating. Another example of this that I've seen is people getting hit and taking their dear sweet time getting off of the court. And in the process of getting off the court, they're standing in front of people. If a ball comes near them, they swat it out of the air. Once again, that's just you being bratty. And it's definitely cheating. It's definitely something that's going to reflect bad on you as an individual and as a team. And it's not that hard to remedy that situation. If you get hit, you put your hand up, and you don't need to sprint, but you
jog,
a brisk walk or a jog towards whichever sideline you're closest to, and you get out of the game and you go over and you wait in line. That's by far the best way to do it. It's incredibly simple to do, and you're not going to look like a whiny little brat. So One of the other ones, another thing that I'd like to go over, is rule infractions that, while yes, they are rule infractions, I don't think always warrant the reaction that they get. Like, one of the ones that I see on the website is about people that step out of bounds to retrieve balls. And if you'll give me a second here, I think I've got a really good quote here. One of the quotes says, "I would like to point out that it's not a referee's job to retrieve balls. They should be watching the game, and I believe that's why so many calls are missed." So if someone on the other team does step out to retrieve a ball, granted, your team should have people on the sideline returning those. If someone does step out to get a ball and it's the case where they had no other way of getting to a ball, while that is technically a rule infraction and I guess you could call them out, I think that's maybe one of the few rules that could on occasion be overlooked.
I'm going to have to agree. And in that same vein, if you're like the last person on the team to be in and you're in the backcourt because the other team's got five or six players and they're just throwing those balls like crazy at you, you're not going to be watching your feet. You're going to be watching those five or six players all throwing balls at you at once. So if you do try to keep your feet in, referees make that known, like, hey, watch your feet, watch your feet. If it's continually, like if he says, all right, I'll watch my feet, and then still steps out of bounds, I guess that would be, merit enough to just go ahead and kick him off the field or the court. But at the first, it should just be a warning. That's for sure.
Agreed. One of the other topics, because I'm still sitting here reading through the message board, and I keep seeing new stuff every time I get on here, and this once again goes back to my point about sportsmanship. There's a lot of people that are talking about things like name calling during the game. Obviously, a little bit of trash talk in any sport is acceptable, but if you start calling people certain expletives that I don't believe are acceptable for this podcast, that's a little far. You especially have to consider who's watching the game. I know that at the University of Louisville Western Kentucky game that we were at, there were a lot of little kids there.
And parents, too.
And, well, I don't think any parents are going to be shocked and appalled. I mean, they're college students. One, it makes us look... we look unprofessional if we're running around yelling the F word at each other while we're playing a sport. Most parents are going to be like, huh, this is definitely a worthwhile thing. And especially if there are children there, which granted, I think bringing kids into that place was a terrible idea because there was a lot of possibilities of concussions there. But at the same time, just be aware of who's around. Be aware that calling someone...
I keep almost reading these, but I keep stopping myself.
Calling someone one of these names, and they're listed on the forum if you want to check them out. You don't want someone to hear you calling someone else that when you're in a sports, granted it's usually a club sport, but when you're in a sports environment like that. And the one thing that I'm also seeing that's what I see as a worse version of this is actually like physical violence committed against another team member. And while I don't see any reports of real fist fights, just a lot of things like on the run-up, players being a little too aggressive, throwing shoulders, throwing elbows, grabbing other players, shoving other players. That, I believe, if you get caught doing that, I think that should be an instant red card. Because then, I mean, granted, this sport has enough of a risk of injury just in the sport that it is, but if people start pushing, shoving, grabbing, throwing elbows, then you have a potential for a serious injury.
Right.
Okay, and now we're just going to do a final wrap-up about rules. We've covered a lot of topics. I'm hoping that we get some feedback on the message boards. What do you all think as far as filming games, if that should be viable? What do you think is the best way for each team to be held to a kind of rules contract? Do they need to sign something at the beginning of the game, or do we... Is it possible, do you think, for us to make a solid set of rules that every team could have a physical printed copy of? So it'd be great if we could hear from you guys, because the two of us are just about out of ideas on how to prevent cheating. And I think if everyone works together as a group, team captains and players and everyone, I think that we could probably solve this problem.
On the same forum post, I think it's a good idea to discuss where the responsibility lies as far as enforcing the rules or preventing the situation from escalating. Is it solely on the referees? There's no argument there. Or should the team captains be the final say in whatever occurs, or should they be the one punishing their own team, or is it just merely individuals? Do we just leave it up to the people? Which I personally would say I'm gonna say team captains have to.
I would agree.
Most of the work there.
So the final thing that we'll say about cheating. Here's what I would like to see from the four or five people that are probably gonna listen to this. If I'd like to get maybe some solid rules that you think should be definitely part of the game, rules that can't be argued, can't be changed. And I'd also like to get some people's ideas on penalties. That's the big thing that I really just don't know where the wisdom lies as far as penalizing individuals, penalizing the team as a whole. Where's the wisdom lie there? What do you think are acceptable punishments? What do you think are the best way to implement those punishments? And so I'm looking forward to hearing from everybody. It'd be great if you all could post some stuff. So judging by the amount of time we've been going so far, I believe it's time to almost wrap everything up. So what do we want to go over before we leave?
Well, we have some future games to cover, I think. Obviously, the next one is actually next week. November 16th is the tournament in Lexington, Kentucky, hosted by, of course, the University of Kentucky themselves.
Wildcats. Woo!
And I do believe they are a pretty young team, and U of L and WKU are all going to be there. Those are the Kentucky teams, and then outsiders, or whatever you want to call them, are going to be Saginaw Valley and Kent State, as well as Michigan State University.
Indeed they will. So we're looking forward to seeing all those teams there. It should be a great tournament. What I would like to do, I'm hoping that sometime at that thing we can get some of the team captains together. Hopefully we will have coerced them into at least listening to part of this podcast.
Psh.
And I would like to be able to get some of the team captains, and if the players want to get involved, more power to them. Let's get everyone involved. Let's figure out how we're going to deal with these rules and this cheating, and let's get this thing up and off the ground. So we wish luck to every team that's showing up at the tournament. We look forward to seeing how this year turns out. And I guess other than that, this has been another edition of Average Joe's Podcast with Alex Heichelbeck.
And Ben Subcheck.
We will see you all later on.
Thanks for listening to Average Joe's Podcast. Make sure to check out the latest episode of Average Joe's on iTunes or our website, ncdadodgeball.com. Until next time, just remember the 5 D's of dodgeball.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive, dodge.
Bye-bye.